We begin today in a series called Coffee with Jesus. This is a series in Scripture where we explore encounters people had with Jesus face to face. Today we're going to go deep into the account that Aaron just read about a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus and the conversation that he had with Jesus. Now this wasn't some off-chance encounter, and from what we know, this wasn't even an encounter that Jesus specifically sought out. This encounter was by someone, Nicodemus, who initiated the conversation himself with Jesus. Now, it is in this encounter that we find one of the most popular Bible verses found in the Bible today, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, so many of us love this verse, and it is a great verse. It brings so much hope to a world that so much desperately needs God. However, if we just stop at that verse alone and fail to read the verses before John 3:16 and after, we can risk failing to understand what God is really doing in this world and what he has done through his Son in the first place. Now let me ask you two of the most important questions that you'll ever be asked in your life. What does it mean to be born again? And how can you know if you truly are? In the encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus gave Nicodemus the answers to these questions. And we hopefully can apply these answers to our lives. Now, who is this character Nicodemus anyway? I was reading somewhere that Nicodemus was the only Irishman found in the Bible. Now, I don't think that's true. But I'm pretty sure that Nicodemus was Jewish. And as a matter of fact, I know he was Jewish. We know that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the time, and the Sanhedrin were a group of these religious leaders who were like the ruling council on all religious matters and things concerning God. So Nicodemus was considered a very well-respected man in those times, especially concerning religious matters and things of God. Let us note, though, that this Pharisee, Nicodemus, and a few other Pharisees recognized that God was with Jesus because they heard what Jesus had been doing. For many of us, we too search out Jesus by what we heard about him. And it was no different for Nicodemus. Now, we know that the other Pharisees also heard about Jesus, but most didn't want anything to do with him. As a matter of fact, it is written in Scripture that these Pharisees were the ones who turned Jesus over to the Romans to be put to death and crucified. We need to understand that there is more to finding eternal life and true life than just an intellectual understanding that God was with Jesus. What Jesus was about to tell Nicodemus was going to shake Nicodemus to his core on everything that he ever believed. In verse 2 of chapter 3 is where we will begin in this conversation. We take notice that Nicodemus went out to meet Jesus at night. Now, many scholars believe that Nicodemus went out to meet Jesus at night because he was perhaps afraid of what the other Pharisees and Sanhedrin would think of him for meeting with Jesus on religious matters. Now, this brings up another important point to ponder. How do we approach matters concerning Jesus in our lives? Are we afraid on what others may think of us when we speak about Jesus? Do we try to hide that we have a relationship with Jesus? Or are we enthusiastic to talk about Jesus with our friends and our family? But let's not give Nicodemus too hard of a time. Remember, just because Nicodemus was well-versed in religious matters, he was in just as much darkness as any other common sinner. I think the fact that Nicodemus came to meet with Jesus in the first place tells us a little bit about what was going on inside of him. Something was stirring inside of Nicodemus, and he wanted to talk to Jesus about it. Perhaps Nicodemus was not ready or bold enough at that time to declare to his fellow Pharisees that he was really interested in what Jesus had to say. Also notice that Jesus didn't just write off Nicodemus as some religious hypocrite. Jesus took the time to speak with someone who wanted to speak with him. Even if Jesus had many disagreements with the Pharisees. Another point to make regarding about the Pharisees. Sometimes I think us Christians today can really misunderstand the religious Pharisees and think that all of their devotion to their religion was a bad thing. After all, we can read verses where Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites and vipers. We can tell through the scripture that many of the Pharisees were in fact hypocrites and vipers. But what we fail to understand many times is the Pharisees' religious practices were given to them by God himself. Jesus understood this. Jesus even worshipped in the temple alongside the Pharisees. It wasn't the Pharisees' religious practices that Jesus was coming down hard on. Jesus came to fulfill all the religious practices and take the burden of their religion on himself. It was the attitude of the Pharisees regarding their religious practices and the poor treatment of others who didn't follow them or understand them that Jesus went after. The point of all this is Jesus never writes off anyone. Jesus didn't write off the broken. Jesus didn't write off the orphan, the widow, the divorced, the rich, the poor, or even the overly religious. Jesus is not concerned if you are conservative, a liberal, an independent, a Republican, a Democrat, or whatever. Jesus is concerned with truth and love because they go together. You can't truly love someone without sharing truth. And you can't effectively share truth without truly loving someone. You see, Jesus loved the Pharisees just as he loves you and I. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross and he was struggling to breathe his last breaths? Who did Jesus forgive in those very moments? Now, we know that he forgave the thief that was hanging next to him on the cross. And we love hearing that. Every sinner loves hearing that. But Jesus also forgave his enemies, which included the Pharisees and the Romans who sent Jesus to the Romans. As Jesus hung on that cross, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Do we forgive as Jesus forgave? Or do we write off people because they hurt us? We don't have to compromise truth to love people. And loving people many times involves sharing truth. You know, this is what can be really so messed up in the world today and in our culture. Today's culture thinks that just because a Christian shares a truth that goes against what the culture believes, that somehow this isn't loving people like Jesus loved. And that really is a big lie. Compromising truth isn't loving people. But we also need to be careful as Christians not to just go out speaking something that may be true without first loving people. If we love first and then speak truth, and the culture still rejects us for it, then you did what Jesus asked you to do. You spoke truth in love. However, if we fail to love, even while speaking truth, we are failing again at what Jesus said to do, and that is to love. My mother sure did love sharing a lot of truth for me when I was growing up. My mom had a way about her to be able to share a truth with me that I didn't always want to hear. Many times she didn't even have to say a word. It was just the look that she gave me. I could tell if my mom was disappointed in my behavior. And now my wife gives me that same look. I could even tell by the look my wife gives me if I'm the one in trouble or my kids are in trouble. But one thing I always knew about my mom was that she loved me unconditionally. And my wife loves me unconditionally. I knew my mom loved me when she had to correct a bad behavior in my life. And I know my wife loves me when she gives me the Aaron's eye. I love my kids unconditionally. I share the truth with them often. They're probably shaking their heads going, yes. But I want my kids to always know that I love them. And I want what's best for them, no matter what they have done wrong. Now here is a truth. A truth that was given to Nicodemus by Jesus. In verse 3 of chapter 3, we read, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, this is not some little cute cliche that Jesus was given Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't see it that way at all. He even asked Jesus in verse 4, how can a man be born again when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb. We can laugh and think that Nicodemus was very confused. But you know what? I don't think Nicodemus was confused at all, at least concerning this point. Nicodemus understood that Jesus was telling him that he couldn't see the kingdom of God in the life that he was now living. I think Nicodemus understood that he needed a new life. What Nicodemus failed to understand was how that was all supposed to happen, since he was already a grown man. You know, it's funny. As I read that, I can just imagine Jesus like putting his hand on his forehead, thinking, no, Nicodemus, you can't go back into your mother's womb. Maybe even chuckling a little bit. I don't know. He doesn't say that, but I was just thinking, you know, as I'm reading that, I think Jesus could see that Nicodemus was searching for a truth here, searching for an answer to this dilemma and this perplexing problem that he was under. He was truly seeking. So Jesus was about to go deeper with Nicodemus. As he does with us. I asked you earlier if you were born again. And how would you know if you were? Here is where we find those answers. Jesus says, I tell you the truth again. And by the way, anytime that Jesus says, I tell you the truth, our ears should perk up. Because when he says, I'm about to tell you a truth, he is about to knock your socks off with something. Jesus goes on to tell Nicodemus that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and the Spirit. In verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, a person must be born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus, again, would understand what Jesus meant by this, especially when it came to purity in God's eyes. Water is a way that the ancients believed that things were purified through. And the Spirit means that it comes from above. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus here that he must be purified from above before he can see the kingdom of heaven. Now, for a Pharisee, this is a radical statement, because everything a Pharisee has been taught up to this point was that to see the kingdom of heaven and to be purified, they must follow strict religious practices and customs and follow laws laid out by God religiously. Now, here is Jesus saying, nope, it's not good enough. You can't be purified through the works or your religious ceremony. You need to be born from above to be purified. In verses 8 and 9, Jesus then explains how one becomes born from above. It is through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of this truth. Just as the wind blows wherever it wants, so does the Holy Spirit. Now, have you ever tried to share the gospel or the good news by telling someone that Jesus loves them, that he loved them so much that he died for their sin, and all you get back in response is a shoulder shrug, or maybe they even walk away laughing or mocking you? Now, I know that's happened to me, and you can stand there thinking, why can't they not see or experience what I have experienced? You see, when this has happened to me, I've come to realize that I wasn't praying before I spoke. And I wasn't praying for that person continuously. We need to pray, and pray continually for the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives. If they reject the gospel, keep praying. Pray for the Holy Spirit to soften their hearts to what God has to say. Not what you have to say, what God is speaking through you. And truly believe that their eternity is at stake. Because when you truly believe that their eternity is at stake, you would truly love them the way God wants you to love them and the way that He loves them. Because that is true love. Now, what if Jesus asked you to go out for coffee after service today? What would he ask you? You know, I can't answer all those questions, but I know one thing he would ask. Be born again. Your old life needs to go. And he would offer you a new life from above, a life in him and through him, by the Holy Spirit, who is knocking at the door of your heart. You just need to let him in through faith. That is being truly born again. What would our Christian life look like if we stopped trying to take control and let the Holy Spirit guide our lives instead? Being born again is not just about salvation for eternity in heaven. Being born again is letting go of the pull of this world on your life. Your old life is gone, and your new life has been risen from above in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you struggle with letting go, then pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help you overcome your struggles. More importantly, pray for the Holy Spirit to help you overcome your unbelief, because it all comes from above. If you're in Christ, it has already been given to you. We pick up the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in verse 10. It is at this time when Jesus could see that Nicodemus was still struggling a little bit to fully grasp what it is meant to be born again. So Jesus explains it another way to Nicodemus, in a way that Jesus is trying to show Nicodemus things that he would clearly get. So he refers Nicodemus back to the Old Testament. Remember, Nicodemus was a teacher of the law and of the Old Testament. So Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus was referring Nicodemus back to the account of the Israelites in the Old Testament, Book of Numbers, where they were freed from slavery from Egypt and then wandered in the desert for 40 years. Sometime during this period, the Israelites started complaining that they didn't have enough food. They also started turning against Moses and even God. They made up their own gods. And when all this started to occur, it is recorded in the book of Numbers chapter 21 that a curse came over the Israelites. This curse came via venomous snakes that came out of the desert and started biting the people. The people were dying from these venomous bites. Now, as Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, would say, crikey! And the people didn't have the crocodile hunter to help them rustle up those snakes to protect them. So people came to Moses and asked Moses to forgive them and asked God to forgive them and heal them from their snake bites. So Moses didn't give some wise words. What did Moses do? He prayed. He prayed to God to forgive the people. God then told Moses to make a bronze snake and place it up on a pole. He then told Moses to tell the people to look on that snake so they would be healed. God took the curse from the people and lifted it up on a bronze snake. And when the people looked upon this bronze snake, they were healed from their venomous bites. See, Nicodemus would understand who Jesus was comparing himself to and who God, the example that God was giving to the Israelites. Nicodemus would realize that this account that Jesus was referring to was himself, Jesus, as the one who would take on the curse and be lifted up in our place. Now, just for a moment, place yourself in the shoes of the Israelites. You're stranded in some desert. You're hot. You're hungry. And now you have venomous snakes all around you, biting you, without the crocodile hunter by your side. You eventually are bitten by one of these snakes and have only a few hours to live. Now here comes Moses to inform you that God placed the curse on a bronze snake and is located up on top of a pole in the middle of the tent village. All you have to do is go to that pole and bronze snake to look upon it to be healed. Upon hearing this, would you say to Moses, I don't have time right now. I have things to do first. I have to get married, get a career, have kids, have some fun in life. No, Moses, I don't have time. Maybe later. Of course you wouldn't do that. You only have a few hours to live. You would run as fast as you could to that pole. Kneel down. Thank God that he took the curse from you, the curse of death. Why would anyone wait? Why would anyone wait to come to Jesus? Do you see why Nicodemus would now understand this? Do we today get it? We have the curse of death on us all. And Jesus took the curse from us as he was lifted up on the pole, or in this case, on a cross. Why would so many of us wait? We should be running towards that cross, thanking God for sending his son to take that curse from us. Yet so sadly, so many people are wandering around the desert with the curse of death hanging right over their heads. Now, after explaining the curse we are all under, or for those who are not in Christ are still under, Jesus then says to Nicodemus the words many of us know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. But Jesus didn't end it there. He went on to say in verses 17 and 18, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. If you haven't come to that cross where Jesus has been lifted up for you, now is the day, not tomorrow. If you're wondering if you have been truly born again, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless you fail the test? When we examine ourselves and test ourselves, it's not about comparing ourselves to other believers or comparing how mature we are compared to other believers. We are to examine our faith in Jesus alone. Do we realize and believe what God said? Do you believe the curse of sin and death has been lifted from you by Jesus at the cross? Test your faith. Have you come to the cross? Do you truly believe in the one who saved you? If so, do you believe that you are now a new creation, born again into a new life? Is your life changing to reflect this new reality? I pray that it is. And I pray for those who do not know him yet, because he's calling you and he loves you. He's not asking you to do anything except believe in him, what he has done for you already. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your one and only Son. We know as he hung there on the cross and you turned your back on the curse of sin, that Jesus, your Son, cried out to you, Father, why have you forsaken me? And we know, Father, that it must have broke your heart to hear that from your Son. But we know that you loved us so much that you took the curse of death that was all on us and sent your Son, who did not come to condemn us, but to take that curse on himself. And then 3 days later, Father, you rose him from the dead so we can rise with him. We praise you for that. And Jesus, we praise you for that. And Father, Holy Spirit, we pray for those who do not know you yet, Lord, do not believe, that you would soften their hearts to this reality of what you have done. Thank you. Help us as we go and walk this life, this new life, Lord, that you have given us, to teach others about what your Son has done for all of us. And help us and speak through us, Lord. Help us not just to speak truth without loving people, Lord. Teach us how to love. Show us how to love as your Son has loved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.